We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. You may be listening on some sister frequencies that help give better coverage throughout the county, and if you are, we thank you for that. You could also be listening on WWBC 1510 AM, or you might be listening to us from the website for the radio station here or the TuneIn app. However you might be listening on demand, we just thank you for listening. Right now we are in Luke chapter 8. We are discussing Jairus's daughter, his miracle of her being raised up. We've been talking about the details of that. The past couple of days we've been talking about the woman with the issue of blood who had had that for 12 years, and God healed her when she pressed through the crowd and grabbed hold of the hem of his garment, and power flowed out of his body, virtue flowed out of his body into her body, and as a result of that, her body was made whole, the bleeding stopped, her social status was restored, she was reminded of her daughter status as a child of God, changed her emotional well-being, be of good cheer. Let her know that it was her faith that had made all of this possible. And then, Jesus' last instructions to her in verse number 48 was go in peace. And I pray that, on this Wednesday that you are doing that you are journeying in peace. And so with that being the backdrop, and we're not going to spend a whole lot more time today talking about the woman, and her miracle, but I want to ask you, what are some things in your life that act very much in a line with the crowd? They are in between you and Jesus. What are some of the things that you need to press through? Is it distraction? I'll be honest with you. One of the things that that is me, I'm a bit of a news junkie. Back when I did have cable or satellite television, I could watch the news at 4:30, again at 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock. At 6:30, the national news would come on, and then I could start the process all over again when the 10 o'clock news came on. I could, because at the 4:30 broadcast, they would say at 5 o'clock, brand new. At 5:30, brand new. At 6 o'clock, a story you haven't heard us talk about today. And there was that enticement. And so for me, one of the things that I had to do was I had to set up boundaries and limit the exposure that I had to news. You know what? I realized that the news really wasn't changing that much. I also want to be a newsmaker, not just a news consumer. Right now I'm serving in the capacity of a news reporter to you, only it's the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, what are some of the things that stand in your way that are distractions to you? I have a bit of an addictive personality. There are things that I do not allow into my life because if I did, I know myself, I would become addicted to them. At one point in time in my life, I was addicted to video games. This is much younger in my life. And, you could just spend hours playing a game that's got no giftings to it whatsoever. And on my computer, I don't even have Spider Solitaire or Solitaire. I don't have that on my main computer. There's one computer that I can still play that on from time to time, but I don't want those sorts of addictive things, those sort of crowd things, weaseling their way in between me and Jesus. So I just ask you today, What are some things that you have to press through? It could be doubt. I think I mentioned that on yesterday's program. It could be your past. It could be relationships. It could be generational issues that go back. What are some of the things for you? Because if we just read the Bible and we don't look at it and say, what is God trying to say to me in this passage, then we will never change. Because whenever we read it, we're either going to say, oh, well, that's just such a nice story, and pat ourselves on the head and move away. Or we'll be sitting there and we'll listen to it and we think, well, that applies to the person on my right or the person on my left. That applies to my wife, my kids. That applies to everybody in the world but me. And if that's the case, everybody in the world has the opportunity to change, but we do not avail ourselves of that change. So what are some of the things that you have to press through? And what are some of the things that are that God is requiring faith of you right now in order to see accomplished? Just because we have more technology than we've ever had and more tools and aids and the wow factor that we have available to us does not mean that God has changed his standard of living for the body of Christ. We talk about the standard of living in America as a socioeconomic thing. You know, if you make such and such amount of money, well, that's the standard of living. Do you realize how blessed we are in America right now? Even if you do not own a car, there's public transportation that you can get from point A to point B. I know, because I had to avail myself of that earlier this year and found out, you know, it was not quite as convenient, but it was cheaper. And, for a certain amount of money over the course of a month, and you could get anywhere you needed to go. And I'll tell you right now that was cheaper than my insurance payment and my gas bill. Most everybody has a cell phone. Most everyone has access to internet if they want it. Most everybody has a television in their house. Most everybody has electricity in their house, running water in their house. Most everyone has all of the benefits that didn't exist a number of years ago. You might think this is odd, but it really is true. When I was in high school in Oklahoma, my parents were still having to haul water in a water tank trailer. We would hook it onto the truck, and we would go about 3 or 4 miles down the road, and there was a place you could pull your trailer up and fill it up with water, and then you would take it back to your house and dump it into the cistern. They didn't get running water, actual running water, in my parents' house until after I graduated high school. But you know what? That wasn't even a hardship. When I tell stories like that, there's a lady in my church, and she tells me of the time when they didn't even have a bathroom in their house, nor did they have electricity. Now, those sorts of standards are so below the standard of living that they would probably take your kids away from you if you were raising kids in that environment. So we're talking about a socioeconomic standard where even the people who live at the basest levels of our society would be considered among the richest people in the world because of all of the things that we have to avail ourselves of which one of the things I am the most thankful for, especially in the summertime, is air conditioning. Praise God for air conditioning. In the kingdom of God, however, the standard of living is not based upon financial merit. The standard of living is based upon faith. God said this, "The just shall live by faith." Another translation, "The righteous shall live by faith." That standard never changes. Old Testament is where the first reference of that occurs. It occurs again in the New Testament. It was the standard by which the Reformation under Martin Luther was started. When he came across that revelation, it says, "The just shall live by faith." Children of God, people of Brevard County, we are required to live by faith. We are required by God to live by faith. And so when Jesus commends her for what she has received because of her faith. I believe that there is something in there for you and I. Let me read it to you again. Luke chapter 8, verse number 48. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so you've got to realize that your faith is a gift from God to you. But you and I have to employ that faith. We have to take it out of the box, unwrap it, put it to use in the situations that we face in our daily life. And as we use it, it becomes stronger. It becomes stronger. So I remember a time when my wife and I were married. You've got to understand, my wife and I are crazy in love with each other and with Jesus. We really are. Not everything in our life has been easy. There were 2 years when we first got married, and we were serving in our local church, believing that God had called me to be a pastor, but there was nothing taking place, sending out resumes, talking to pastors, and nothing really happening. But then when God opened the door, we took almost a 50% pay cut, and the base of that pay cut was just barely meeting our needs. We went from making $23,000 a year down to making $13,000 a year. And that was as a married couple, and we were expecting our first child midway through making that move. But we have never in our life made decisions that were based upon economic principles. We have based every action that we've made on faith in the God who called us. Listen, my faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the God who gave me my faith. And I believe that God honors people of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so when Jesus talks to her and says, "Your faith has made you well," he's not beating her up. He's actually commending her. And he tells her this last thing: because of what you have done in faith, your journey forward is going to be a different journey. And isn't that what we are really looking for? I'm looking for my journey forward to be greater than my previous journey. I've laid it out to my kids that my prayer for them is that they will be able to accomplish more for the kingdom of God than what my wife and I were able to accomplish for the kingdom of God. They are extremely gifted. All three of my children, my daughter-in-law as well, very, very gifted. And I'm thankful to God for each one of them. So what I want to tell you is that whenever you are in that desperate situation where you are going against the crowd, so to speak, and you are acting in faith, that God's going to make sure that your journey in the days ahead are different than the days that brought you up to that. The lady before that had been isolated, and now God reminds her that she's part of a family. The days before, everywhere she went, she had to tell people that she was unclean. Now she could go forth with a testimony. Before, she was distraught and hopeless, and from that day forward, she could go forth with joy and with good cheer. She could go forth in peace, the shalom of God, whole in every area in her life. So I want to ask you today, what is it that needs to take place in your life? What is it that needs to take place in my life that will enable us to go forward in peace? That our journey forward will be in the soundness and the integrity of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, if he just came to forgive me of my sins, I'm a blessed man, and I'm thankful every day that he did come to forgive us of our sins. But he also makes a difference in our daily life. I believe that the economy in Goshen of Egypt was different for the children of Israel than it was for the Egyptians. I believe that that's spelled out very clearly in the word. And there came a time when it says, okay, there's one more plague. And then after this, I know that Pharaoh's going to let you go. And this time you all have got to prepare your house. You've got to be ready to go. You got to make sure that the doorway is covered in the blood, because you are getting ready to launch out on a journey. I implore you today as a pastor to go forward in faith. Don't settle for just existing. Don't settle for the mundane and the routine. When God has called you to an adventurous life filled with faith, that says, God, if you don't meet this request, then no one's going to be able to meet this request. I was telling you earlier about that first step that we made in faith. We went from $23,000 a year down to $13,000 a year, and we went several years where it got back up to where it had been before, and then out of the blue one day I got a phone call to move to Florida, and guess what? It required a financial sacrifice to come to Florida, and so we came down here, and it's just been one adventure of faith after another. I tell the story at church. When we came to the church, there was no salary. There was just a place to live, and that's about the best that you could say. It was a place to live. It was by far and away the most challenging place. We did not have air conditioning when we first came to the church. And so we really do appreciate air conditioning now, because we know what it was like without it. So I just want to encourage you. You can live by faith. God will honor that faith, and he will reward your faith. So go in peace. Make sure it's a journey that when you go forth, you know that God is ordering your steps and directing your path. All of this that we've been talking about, we've been in Luke chapter 8, is in the middle of Jesus' journey to Jairus' house. Remember, all of this started with Jairus coming because he needed a miracle. His little girl, who was almost 12 years of age, was dying at home. And all of this is taking place, and there's not much discussion. There's no record of any words that Jesus has said to him. He is just with him on his journey. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I have discovered that a journey with Jesus is a lot better than a journey without him. Now, verse 49, Jesus had just finished the statement, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Verse 49 picks up, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. We're not going to get to discuss it all on today's broadcast, but like they said, always leave them wanting more. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll carry on some more. While he was still speaking, verse 49, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So, like I said, we're going to get into this, and we'll keep going until we get all the way through chapter 8 here. So while Jesus is talking to the woman, the man has Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, the more important person, the one who could have said, "Wait a minute, that woman is unclean." He's standing there waiting for Jesus to resume the journey. And while he is waiting, he gets news that the condition at home of his daughter has changed, and it's not a change for the better. It has deteriorated to where no longer is she dying, she's now dead. But I want to declare to you that God is not just the God of the infirmed. He is the God who is the resurrection. I believe that God does more in resurrections than he does when we have just a little bit of ability. Isaac was not born until Abraham's body was no longer able to produce children. Sarai had always been barren, but Abraham had already produced Ishmael. See, I believe that the reason that Sarai gave Hagar to Abraham was not because she was necessarily wanting to raise up a child for Abraham, but I believe she was looking for, and again, this is a personal opinion. I believe she was looking to say, Abraham, you're the problem, it's not me. And then when Hagar conceives and has Ishmael, then Sarai said, the reality sets in, the problem's with Sarai, not with Abraham. So anyway, that's just a personal opinion. But when Abraham's body had ceased to be able to produce children, then God said, now is the time that I can fulfill that promise. And Abraham had waited for a long, long time. Most scholars believe it was decades that he had waited for the promise of God to come to pass. And so as a result of that, Abraham bore Isaac, and then he went on, after Sarai died, he had another wife and bore more children. He bore more children after his body was unable to produce children than he did before he was able to produce children. But anyway, I don't know how I got sidetracked on that. I just want you to know that if your situation gets worse before it gets better, that does not mean that God is not working in the situation. At that point in time, you need to position yourself to hear from God, because when that news came to Jairus and people were saying, the situation has gotten, if you look at it, this is what they were saying, the situation has gotten so hopeless that there's no point in bothering Jesus anymore, because even God can't help in this situation. That's basically what they said. And at that moment, when they said, the situation is hopeless, give up, don't bother him anymore, that Jesus says, Jairus, I've got something to say to you. I've got something to say to you. And he goes on and he says, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. So if you are facing a circumstance right now, and by the way, we've got a man that we keep getting updates on. He's been battling cancer now for well over a year and a half. We've been mentioning, asking you to pray for Pastor Larry Booth from Satellite Beach, who's been battling cancer for, I think, close to a year and a half, as well, that you would continue to hold them up in your prayers, if you would. That would be greatly, greatly appreciated. The body of Christ, Larry Booth is a blessing to the body of Christ. And so we pray for him. When Jairus says, is told the situation has gotten hopeless, that Jesus then begins to speak specifically to him, and he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid. And I want to tell you, I ran across this post. I'll confess, I've not gone and I've encountered them myself, but someone said that the phrase, do not be afraid, appears 365 times in the Bible. And they say that's one for every day. It doesn't take into account leap year, and so, whatever you want to take from that. I do know this, that whenever God repeats something over and over and over again, he really means it. And you and I are not supposed to be governed by a spirit of fear. You do not have to be afraid of what the future holds because you know who holds the future. And I've shared with you, I try and be very real here on the radio program as well as in the pulpit. But if your faith is not challenged, you need to believe God for more. You need to believe God for more. And I'm believing God. I'll be bringing you a report probably next week on the condition of my eye. I'm still believing. But whatever you do, don't let the enemy intimidate you. Intimidation is not from God. The scripture says perfect love casts out all fear. For God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Don't be afraid. Even when the situation that you're believing for a miracle in, when you get word that things are not proceeding as you had planned, that you can still believe God. Believe God in spite of a bad report. Believe God when you get a good report. Believe God when things are challenging, and believe God when things are going well. The just shall live by faith. Now, let me close out the broadcast. This is going to be Bob looking at this, putting myself in Jairus's position. And I'm looking at the clock, and I'm not going to have time enough to get into it today. So I'm just going to make myself a little note, and we will look at that tomorrow instead of today, because I believe it's something that is very important that we need to take into consideration. Do not be afraid, only believe. And so today I want to pray for anybody, and maybe the situation, the reports that you're hearing, maybe your finances are deteriorating and you're praying that they're getting better. Maybe your health is, maybe your marriage is. I know that God restores marriages. I've seen him do it over and over and over again. Let's pray today. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I know for a fact that not everything goes as quickly as we'd like. Not everything goes as smoothly as we'd like. But God, our faith is not in the reports or the circumstances that we see. Our faith is in you. And God, I just pray right now that if anybody is going through a really challenging season, that you would tell them, don't be afraid, only believe. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.